It's time to get inside the Giants huddle.
Huddle up, huddle up, huddle up.
On Giants.com.
Here we go.
And the Giants mobile app.
Get them in there, let's go.
Part of the Giants podcast network.
Welcome to a special Papa's Perspective edition of the Giants Huddle podcast presented by Bob's Discount Furniture. Get Bob's Discount at the official furniture store and mattress partner of the New York Giants. Shop in store or at mybobs.com. So the Giants play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. So we're thinking about going back in time. How about December the 11th, 2011, when the Giants went down to Jerry Jones World and beat the Cowboys in a pivotal December game? And Eli Manning was the quarterback of the Giants that night. And Eli, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Yeah, sure thing, Bob. Happy to be on.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that because you guys are in must-win situation. You're going down to Dallas. You know, you're chasing them as far as the standings are concerned. And here you are, you find yourselves down 34-22 with 5 minutes and 41 seconds to go. First, talk about sort of the attitude that you and your teammates had, despite the score being in Dallas's favor after T.O.'s 50-yard touchdown in that situation. Dez Bryant, the later version of T.O., his 50-yard touchdown. What was it like on the sideline facing this deficit in so little time?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not the ideal situation. You don't want to be down a couple scores in the fourth quarter, but we also knew that we had been a pretty good fourth quarter team. We had scored a lot of points. We'd always, always been pretty good in 2 minute situations at the end of the game. And so we just kind of knew with 5 minutes left, you know, we're in a 2 minute situation right here. We need two scores. We got to score quickly. We got to be a little bit more aggressive here and try to get a touchdown and, could not settle for field goals. The quicker we score, you might have to start thinking about a onside kick, not onside. We don't want to have to get to that situation. So, let's go in the 2 minute drill drive situation and see if we can get something going.
Eli, obviously at this point, you're having an MVP level season. You're already a Super Bowl MVP. You've got one under your belt and you'd been with Coach Gilbride for so long. Did you have at this point in time, did you have some autonomy on how this was run as far as being able to call plays or audible out of things or making snap decisions where he's just like, all right, just go ahead with it, Eli?
You know, I think I kind of knew in 2 minute, what plays were going to be called. And I always thought for your 2 minute drive, I mean, those should be your base plays. Those should be the plays that, day one or day two of OTAs and training camp, these are the plays being installed where you can line up quickly. Everybody knows what they're doing, not just me, but the receivers, they can play fast. They can see things. They already know their routes. And so, when you get the, certain looks, it's also plays in 2 minute, you're not always trying to call the perfect play. You want plays that are good versus a lot of different coverages, a lot of different looks that you might be from the defense. So you always have completions. You're not necessarily trying to take shots. You don't want to take sacks. You don't need negative plays, but you got completions. You're getting the ball forward. And, not every play has to get out of bounds. Not every play needs to be a first down, but you got to get something going so you can get on the line quickly and call another play.
So it's second and 10, you hit Victor Cruz for 11. Then on a first down play, you get Nix for 9. So you're getting some plays. Now Bradshaw has a run, doesn't really do anything on the run. But now you're in a situation, Eli, where you're facing a third and one. There's 4:13 to go in the game. And this is the deep out that you threw to Victor Cruz for 23 yards. Because of the score, you can take a shot, right? Because it's two down territory for you. Is that the thinking and the mindset there?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, that play kind of had several different reads that you could go to, really depended on what they were going to call. And so we really thought they might, be a little bit more aggressive, say, hey, we're going to stop them on the run. They kind of played a little bit more conservative, but it kind of took away some of the short stuff and gave us an opportunity to hit the shot and hit a little bigger play right there. And so, I think in 2 minute drives, you love the chunk plays. Like that's kind of what you need. You need that explosive play. You can't force it, but when they're there and even on a third and one, you know, right there, you're saying, hey, you know, time and yardage is the essence. So if we got a chance to hit a 20, 25 yard gain, you got to take that. And, you know, we'll take our chances on the fourth down play if we don't hit it. But right there, you know, Saul had a good matchup. Victor ran a great route and got a chunk. And now all of a sudden, you know, we got things going and getting closer to scoring.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
DeMarcus Ware does you a favor by jumping offside. So it's first and five at the 32, 3:33 to go in the game. And now at this point, you're feeling like, hey, you know, we got to get the ball in the end zone because we have to get the ball back. You hit Nix on a big 24-yarder down to the 8-yard line down the right side.
Yeah, just, you know, brought a little pressure there off the left side, kind of had to roll a little bit and, you know, really just kind of a good read by Keem. And we had a situation where, you know, if it versus off coverage zone, soft, like a kind of a soft corner, he's going to run a little 12-yard curl route. But if you got any type of two-man cover two zone, he's going to run a corner route. And, you know, so it's just kind of a lot of that offense was, you know, reads by the deep, you know, by the receivers could adjust their routes based off the coverage and the look. So, you know, right there, you know, had the two safeties deep kind of, and had an opportunity to, you know, kind of sprint to the right. He had a great corner route and hit him for a chunk and get into the tight red zone right there. So a good read by him, good route. And, you know, again, getting another chunk play, which is huge in that situation.
Whether it was, you know, Super Bowl 42, where, you know, you had the big play to Kevin Boss to start the third quarter. You know, Kevin, unfortunately, you know, had gotten injured and, you know, wasn't able to kind of build upon that year. But then you get Jake Ballard and you developed a nice rapport with him. I mean, earlier in the season, you know, you had the big touchdown pass to him in New England. He kind of was like your go-to guy in the red zone area, and you're able to hit him on this 8-yard touchdown. Talk about Jake and why he was such a good fit and that play where, you know, you've had confidence in him to go to him.
Yeah. I mean, Jake, he's a guy. Yeah. Just really, really came about that year, and he just had a good feel for finding areas in the zone. He was a big target. He was a big guy. You know, he's 6'6", 6'7", you know, probably 275, 280. I mean, he was just a large guy, not the fastest guy in the world, but had a good feel, could find the zones. And again, we, you know, part of his in that offense was, you know, adjusting your routes, man or zone. If it's zone and soft, hey, get a little deeper. If it's, you know, if it's tighter coverage, then you could, you know, get him running a little bit more and come out of it. And so he just had a great feel and understanding for that. And because of it, you knew exactly what he was going to do, and you could throw him right out of the breaks when he was most open. So, you know, right here, really not a play that was necessarily designed for him to win, but you know, he did a good job just kind of getting man coverage and beating him across the middle and just do a nice kind of bodied ball where he kind of boxed out the guy like a basketball rebound and was able to get the catch and get the touchdown. And so to cap off really a good drive and didn't take up a ton of time. And so there's enough time on the clock where, hey, we don't have to go on sides. We saved our timeouts, didn't have to call any, and so we still got time to kick it off. And now all of a sudden you put a little pressure on the opposing team and see, you know, see if they can get a first down. And all of a sudden they're kind of the ones trying not to lose a game all of a sudden. And that can affect the team.
Yeah. 8 plays, 80 yards. It took just 227. So now it's 34-29. And as you mentioned, Dallas has a 3rd and 5. They're kind of feeling the pressure. I remember being in the building. You could feel their fans feeling tense. They had the lead, but it almost felt like now they were chasing you guys. And then were you watching the Romo overthrown pass to Miles Austin, or were you busy like getting ready for when we get the ball back?
No, I was watching it right at that moment. I mean, that's, you know, this could be the game is right here. If they get that, then we're going to be in a serious bind. So I'm right there on the sideline standing up, and I see him kind of, you know, we call it a spray nine, just kind of a little seam versus press man. And he got outside and really, you know, ran a great route, had a lot of separation, but just outside his fingertips. And so, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we feel like we got the momentum now. You know, we just had an 80-yard drive where we just went right down the field right away pretty easily. And so, again, this is the situation you want to be in as a team. You know, two minutes left in the game. You need a touchdown to take the lead and to possibly win it. So this is what we were excited about. We felt we were very good at it. We had just had the drive, so we were excited to get another opportunity.
Yeah, and to that point of them feeling the pressure at this point, I mean, McBryer hits a bad punt, goes out of bounds, 33 yards. So outside of the two-minute warning, you're starting at the 42-yard line, and then you hit Ballard on a 21-yarder. Like right out of the gate. I mean, at this point in time, did you have any doubt as a team, or was the confidence level so high? Like we're going down and scoring here.
I think that's always the mindset is you're going to go down and score, and you're going to figure out a way to do it. And you don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know, if it's going to be all first and second downs, or you're going to have some fourth down conversions, or which way it's going to happen. But I think we just felt good in those situations. And we had been tried and tested. We, you know, a bunch of these guys had been on some Super Bowl teams and been that whole year. A lot of our wins were fourth quarter comeback wins. And so we just felt good in those environments and that situation. We practiced the 2-minute drills so much every week. We did it every Thursday against our defense. Really the only time we would go live against our starting defense was in a 2-minute drill. And so, guys felt comfortable in the plays, again, calling our base stuff, things they knew very well. And guys responded to those situations and seemed to raise their level of play in those moments.
Yeah. And I talked about the anxiety level, right? So Jake Ballard has the 21-yard catch, takes you to the 2-minute warning. And for the second time in as many series, DeMarcus Ware jumps offside because he's feeling the pressure. Like, I got to go make a play. I got to go make a play. And what it's doing is it's making it easier on you. First and five is a lot better than first and 10. You hit Victor for 8 yards. Then your former teammate, Frank Walker, commits a penalty against Akeem Nicks. So you got a first and 10 at the 19. And once again, you know, Jake Ballard kind of sets you up here on that first and 10. You hit him for 18 yards. So, I mean, on this drive, Jake's got 2 catches for 39 yards. Do you think they were so preoccupied with the fact that you had Nicks, who had a dominant game, you have Victor, and you got Mario Manningham, the X factor, that they can only cover so many guys?
Yeah, a little bit. And I think what was happening is we had hit a couple kind of shots in the zones on the sidelines. We hit Victor on one. We hit Akeem on a couple corner routes. And so they said, hey, we got, you know, they're getting these chunk plays and they're hitting their outside receivers over there. We got to kind of take away the sideline a little bit. And so what it did, it opened up Jake in the middle. And so, you know, that's when your offense is clicking, is when, just because the defense takes away one person, it doesn't affect your offense. It doesn't slow you down. You have total confidence to go to where the defense is weak and where they are vulnerable. That's where you attack. And so that was the great thing about that style of offense, that the concepts were good. They were good versus so many different coverages, and the players you had could win those individual matchups. And so you were just going, going with the read. Hey, on this coverage, on this play, you know, Jake's going to be my number one read. He's winning those matchups. It makes life a lot easier for the quarterback when you're going to your first or second progression. Also, when you're getting to third and fourth progression a bunch, you know, you're not really calling the right plays is really the problem. So we were getting to our first progression so many times, and those guys were winning.
Brandon Jacobs knocks it in, 6 plays, 58 yards. And then you hit the 2-point conversion with DJ Ware. Eli, let me ask you this. In your career with the Giants, would you say that you guys might have perfected the art of the 2-point conversion draw running play.
We did it a bunch, and you know, my first 2-minute drill of my career, first win of my career at home versus the Cowboys. We hit a draw to Tiki Barber to win the game, and then you know, another time right here. And Bob, the reason it worked is we would call two plays in the huddle, and we would have a pass play or maybe a sprint out, and a lot of teams on a two-point play, they're going to go all out blitz, or they're going to play some zone. And so if they went all out blitz, we kind of had a play that would be good versus that. If they played soft zone and had six in the box, we would kind of fake like we're passing and hit the draw. And so we ran it versus good looks versus, a look where everybody had a hat on hat and we could get it in there. And so, great job up front blocking it and having trust that, hey, I mean, it's a little gutsy from the 2-yard line calling a run play to get in there. But we said, hey, if they're going to play soft and give it to us, we're a good running team. We got to go get that.
All right. So Miles Austin and Romo combined for 45 yards on 2 pass plays. They go right down the field. So Bailey's out to try a field goal now to tie the game. Everybody's watching. JPP was a monster that year, just even the year before, just his physical dominance. Where were you watching the block from?
I was just kind of sitting on the bench, just kind of looking at it and just like, golly, this thing's going in overtime. We got the momentum. They hit a couple plays right there. So you just, you hope he misses it, but you just kind of start, planning for, hey, what are we going to do in overtime, and just assume it, and just kind of head down, and just, usually on those, you can kind of tell by the crowd what's happening. You don't have to sit there and watch it. So just kind of, listen to the crowd, whether it's going to go in or not. And all of a sudden, you hear kind of the silence and all of a sudden our bench jumping up and down. And so immediately just, jump up, start running around. And it was just such a, such an awesome game. We needed it to stay, kind of in the playoff hunt and all of a sudden catch up with Dallas, who had a lead on us in the division. And, down and out, fourth quarter, not looking good. So to fire back and take over the lead, get those 2-point play, get a blocked field goal by JPP to win the game. I mean, it's just such a huge momentum swing and such a huge win for our season. I was like, we don't win that game, we probably aren't going to the playoffs and winning a championship. So it just played such a huge part in that season.
Eli, final question. The Giants are playing in Dallas on Thanksgiving, where they've played once before, 1992. They went up getting beaten badly there. You've played on 2 Thanksgiving games. Could you just talk about and explain what the Giants are facing this week as far as preparation is concerned and how hard it is to prepare on a short week for a Thursday game? And then with it being on Thanksgiving, it's got a lot more oomph to it than sure. Just playing on Thursday night.
Well, it's obviously a great tradition and playing on Thanksgiving in Dallas is just you kind of have such great memories of watching those games with, or at least I do, with my family and being home and having eaten a big meal and kind of sitting there and watching the game, maybe dozing off a little nap there in kind of the late first quarter, second quarter, and kind of, watching the end of the game. I think it does help that it's a division team. You've played them a bunch. You've already played them this season, so you know a little bit of the scheme, what you want to do. You know the players and who guys are, so that helps with the preparation. When you're playing a team you haven't played before, or they're an AFC team, we went out to Denver years ago and played Thanksgiving night on a team you're not familiar with. It's hard to prepare for that way, but I think that helps the situation on a short week. On the road traveling, when you at least have had some familiarity with the team, and so they'll be ready. It's obviously a big game in the division. I mean, these are important. These games now, later in the season, everybody kind of playing for playoff spots. So it's obviously a big game, and I expect both teams to come out fired up, and should be a great one.
Eli, on behalf of all of us, we want to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving, and we appreciate you taking a couple minutes to join us.
Sure thing, Bob. A lot of fun, and I want to wish everybody else a happy Thanksgiving as well.
Hey, thanks for joining us for this special Papa's Perspective edition of the Giants Huddle podcast presented by Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's is back at it with major style and savings on furniture, mattresses, decor, and more for your home. Shop in store or online at mybobs.com. Bob's Discount Furniture, the official furniture store and mattress partner of the New York Giants.